Well, good morning.
Morning.
I guess my opening statement this morning is, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I'd like to give you a warning. You know how sometimes you watch videos and there's a warning? Well, I'll give you a warning today. There may be some disturbing content today. Turn with me to Psalm 14:1.
Are we to consult our parents about this? I'm in trouble. I don't have any parents.
Psalm 14:1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside together. They have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Do all the workers of wickedness not know, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call upon the Lord? They are in great dread, for God is with the righteous generation. That's a pretty strong statement, God. And is the fool saying there is no supreme sovereign deity that overlooks and governs all humanity, no arbiter of truth? Is the fool saying he can't see God, so he must not be real? Is the fool saying there is no God because I choose not to believe it? In other words, he wishes there was none. Is the fool saying, there is no God because I don't like or agree with his rules? Is the fool saying, I'm not afraid of God, of this God. I'll stand up to him if he actually shows up. Is the fool saying, I choose to be my own God, the maker of my own destiny? The answer is yes, all of these. We see it so often. We hear all of these statements, and truth be known, some of these statements were in our heart and our lips before we became born again. But what's the point for this message this morning? You know, if we believe that God speaks through the message, that it is for each of us at that moment, then we ask, what's the importance of this message? I mean, we're all here. We believe in God. We're here. What's the point of this? Well, it's to recognize that there is only one truth and not to let doubt creep into your mind. It's to not let statements by others be given equal treatment, equal stature, equal status. And sometimes we do that by saying, well, for me, I choose to believe in God. No, he exists whether we believe him or not. Don't let people off the hook by agreeing with that statement. He's God because he is God. And this is why this scripture makes this statement. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. He's a fool because he will pay the price for his unbelief. And it reflects a sense of sadness that the person who is deceived and will go to hell for it by not believing in God. And nobody wants that for the person. Even God says in his scripture that he desires that none should perish. I mean, he sent Jesus for the whole world, to pay the sins for the whole world. His heart is that he wants everyone there. Yet, aren't we believers often accused of being the fool for believing in an invisible God. You know, something, a God that you can't see, a God that you can't touch. And to that I ask, who is the fool? Is it the one who accepts reality in the face of true history of Jesus? I mean, there's no doubt that Jesus came in the flesh and touched people, ate with people, did. I mean, it's historical. There's eyewitnesses all over. There's no doubt of that reality, of that history. So who's the fool? The one that denies that or the one that believes that? Is the fool the one who chooses not to believe and instead believes in an inanimate object as a god? A statue, a trophy, a stone, all kinds of things. Who is the fool? Is the fool the one that believes that the end of life, when you die, is the end of existence? How sad is that belief? How foolish. Because we're immortal. We've talked about this before. We're immortal. Once we're born, we're immortal. We are going to live forever. The question is, where are we going to live? Heaven or hell? So that's why we say it's foolish to believe, to say in your heart, there is no God. You got to get rid of that if you're going to be able to confess that Jesus is Lord. So this message is not about condemnation. It's more of a sadness. This week, the 2023 Grammy Awards featured a satanic performance by a transgender, non-binary couple who became the first transgender to win one. The Huffington Post reports Sam Smith and Kim Petras followed up their history-making Grammys victory on Sunday, the Lord's Day, that was my addition, with an epic performance of their smash single, Unholy. Smith began the number in red leather, flanked by a troupe of dancers that resembled Samara, the ghostly antagonist of their ring. As for Petras, she danced in a S&M-style cage as fire rose from the stage behind her. At one point, Smith leaned into the hellish vibe of the performance by donning a top hat accentuated with devil horns. This song, Unholy, has been topping the charts. The show, the Grammy show, which was seen worldwide, the auditorium was packed. There was 12 million people watching this.
Flopped pretty hard. Everybody's criticizing it.
Yeah. And the singer basically played the devil, and his transgender girlfriend appeared in a cage. The stage was designed to look like hell. It seems to me that we're living in the times of Noah. Demons are teaching our kids to worship Satan. This was a worship service. It's what it amounted to. Conversely, today in the Super Bowl, you're here, praise God, but it is Super Bowl Sunday. there's going to be an ad played called He Gets Us, and it's all about Jesus. And it's a campaign that's been going on. There's this ministry that has been doing this, but now they have a Super Bowl commercial. He Gets Us. And I guess all I've got to say is stay tuned for the fireworks. And they've already started. I mean, people know this commercial is coming. And so on social media, they are just railing against this commercial. How could they put it on TV? How could it be part of the Super Bowl? You know, would real Christians spend that kind of money to have the commercial? On and on. And I'm just saying, stay tuned for the fireworks. When you declare Jesus in the public like that, fireworks are going to happen. Don't let that hold you back.
So is it a real Christian thing, or are they trying to...
It's actually the Hobby Lobby owner.
Oh, okay. So I saw some commercials a while back that were
seen
Jesus commercials, but they were exactly the opposite.
Yeah, no, I mean, I haven't seen the commercials. Yeah. I'm just saw the one ad.
Yeah, hopefully it is.
Yeah, no, and the people behind it are promoting the real Jesus. Say what you will about the commercials and whatever, but you know, that's their motive.
You know, what's amazing was several years back on one of the voting campaigns on the roster, they were going to be raising taxes on cigarettes, you know, to raise them up and make them more expensive and all. And Philip Morris came into Colorado and spent over $12 million to, you know, a campaign to vote against that deal. And well, it actually won, but it was a small, you know, small margin. But imagine where that $12 million could have gone instead.
Yeah.
If anything, they should start doing insurance, health insurance for people who come down with lung cancer and all the other stuff.
There you go.
Of cigarettes.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it would have worked for me since I got COPD, but you know.
Yeah. At any rate, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Wow, that's a strong statement. Would you be comfortable saying that to someone, an unbeliever?
Well, I wouldn't be saying it.
So it's interesting that you know that they say there's no God, but then they have this.
Yeah.
So I don't see how one can exist without the other.
Right. So, yeah. Well, you know, that's why I mentioned the fool is he saying, yeah, I know there's a God, but I choose not to believe in him. I'm going to worship Satan instead. Mm-hmm. But when you say the fool has said in his heart there is no God, that is so politically incorrect, I should say, and unwoke. But isn't this what they're saying at the Grammys when they're saying that? You know, we don't care. We're going to live like we want. We don't even fear the future. And we know what the future is for them. And shouldn't we have a love and a concern for them to let, you know, just kind of advise them, let them know, at least share what better future they could have. It's in the fool's heart and not so much on their lips, but all belief starts in the heart, right? We believe in the heart. We confess with our lips. We can't truly know what's in someone's heart. And so by that, I mean, it's really hard for us to judge one another's beliefs and whether they are saved, whether they believe in Jesus or not. We can't truly know that. But the point of this is it kind of anchors our task in life, our calling by Jesus, and that is to be his witnesses, to see the inner man changed, crucified. The inner man has to be crucified in order to be born again. So we have to see that happens first or no outward change will happen. So when we hear that message, what it means is we shouldn't be railing against the message so much, but rather the heart, you know, seeing that changed, having a spiritual discussion and argument. We know that God has made himself known in so many ways, right? Turn with me to Psalm 19. You may be in Psalm 14 still. Go to Psalm 19. This is an awesome psalm. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are their words, their voices not heard, yet their line has gone out through all of the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. It is rising from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The fool has said in their heart, there is no God. The people living back in the time of Noah, before the flood, said, there is no God. The people living in the time of Elimelech and Naomi, before the torching of Sodom and Gomorrah, said, we don't care if there's a God. We'll do what we want. We're going to worship our own gods. The Philistines, living in the time of David, said, we will worship our own god, which is Dagon. And that was an idol with the body of a fish and the head and hands of a man. And we remember the story where the Ark of the Covenant was stationed in the same room as the god Dagon, and they were left alone at night. And when people came back the next day, Dagon was falling down on the ground and all broken up. How did that happen? The people of Europe and America are saying, science is our God. Exchanging the creator for the created. Many say the universe is our deity. The modern people of Europe and America are saying, we are proud of our sexual deviancy. And you must bow down to it or else. You must fly the flag with the American flag and wear the t-shirt. We will use the rainbow to signify our identity. Your children must learn of the heroes of this deviancy. I'm sorry if this offends you, but it is true. This is what is happening. This is what we are being told to do. And we have to decide how we're going to react. And we're not saying here, go out and fight and punch and riot and shoot and burn. We're saying, love, share the gospel, share the good news. Recognize, feel sad for them. Because they are being deceived by the enemy, the evil one. We believers are accused of being fools by believing the invisible God. We're being told, you know, you're giving up so much fun to believe in that invisible God. What the world has to offer. We're said to be giving up riches and fame that we could be having. We're said to be fools because we lack the intelligence to believe in scientifically proven origins of evolution. We're said to be fools because we give money to an invisible God. Money that could have been used in a smarter way. But are we fools? Turn with me to Romans 1. Well, no, I'll get that next. I guess we're there. Romans 1. Oh, the slide says we're there. So what happened? What changed in America?
You know, I kind of feel sorry for ourselves in a way. God gave us the rainbow to show that he would never flood the earth again. Amen. So it's a beautiful colors, and just, you look at it and you admire what God did. And then man turned around and turned it into gay rights. And it's like, now if you want to show the rainbow how beautiful it is for God's sake, they're thinking, well, are you this way now? And it's like, they change it from one to another, and it's like, how much they have changed God into not who he is.
Yeah, amen. Rainbow's been strong. Mike.
Can I make a comment on the rainbow flag?
You sure can.
Just an opinion here. When the, you know, because I have a bunch of, you know, ex-girlfriends nearby, and I have a friend who is gay, came from a very religious household. I always saw the rainbow flag as God saying, hey guys, you need to be saved over here. Look, my flag's over here. I'm with them. Come save them. And then just recently they changed the flag to this hideous, vomit-inducing, I don't know, they add all these little colors, and if you flip it over, it's the triangle symbols. I'm like, okay, they just became Sodom and Gomorrah, is kind of what that told me. So I don't really think it was them hijacking the rainbow. I think it was God trying to say, whoa, hey, don't ostracize them. Get over here and save them before they become Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. And then now that has happened. They're Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. That's just my take, not to diminish anybody's. There does, to an extent, it does seem like they hijacked it to a degree. So, not dismissing what she said.
In Romans 1, verse 28, we'll start with 18, rather. Kind of answers that question, what happened to America? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. And that's how we know God is real. It's evident within us. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. Being understood. That's how we understand this God of creation. So that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. So that we have seen that happen in our lifetime, some of us older people. So what happens to those who continue to reject the love of God and the grace of Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? What happens to them? Turn with me to Revelation, and we're just going to hit a handful of verses that demonstrate the future. It demonstrates and answers the question, what happens? And it goes on to show how many people will be responding and behaving at that time. Revelation 6, verse 15 through 17. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Revelation 6, 15. Okay. And this is on the sixth seal. And at this point, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth, made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. Let me take a little rabbit trail here. A great earthquake. Do you know that earthquake in Turkey and Syria so far was 28,000 dead?
20.
That's like four pagosas. It's mind-boggling. But Jesus said there will be earthquakes and famines in places, in various places. And then the end will come. Back on the track here. Verse 15. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? They knew God. They did not honor him as God. And that continues. That's a condition of man that has to be changed. Turn down to Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, okay, so this is during the sixth trumpet. So the seventh seal has seven trumpets. The sixth trumpet, it says that a third of mankind was killed. Now, there's no mistaking how dramatic that is going to be. You know, it won't just pass on by you. 28,000 people were killed in one earthquake, but a third of mankind would be a couple billion. Okay, so the rest of mankind, those who were not killed by those plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands. So as not to worship demons and idols of gold, like like a Grammy statue, and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor talk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their idolatry, nor of their thefts. They knew God. They saw God working. They did not repent. To me, that seems to be the definition of foolish. Revelation 16, 9 through 11. This is during the bowl judgments, the bowls of wrath. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent, so as to give him glory. Verse 11, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. The people of Revelation 16 here are those who knew God, they did not honor him, and most dramatically, they did not repent. This, again, seems the definition of foolish. If they did repent, even at that time, they would be saved. So, I think we can safely say, and Jesus kind of said this would happen, that the majority of the present earth that we live in does not believe in Jesus, does not believe in God. So, will there be any unbelievers at the end of the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign? So we say, you know, Jesus returns to earth, sets up his kingdom here on earth, and reigns physically on earth with us for 1,000 years. And we ask, will there be any unbelievers? I mean, they'll be able to see Jesus face to face. Will there still be unbelievers? And if so, what will happen to them? Turn with me to Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10. Revelation 20, 7 through 10. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison. So during the 1,000 years, Satan has been held in prison so he couldn't roam around and tempt people and cause people to sin. At the end of the 1,000 years, he's released and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is the sand of the seashore. That's a lot of people. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, Jerusalem, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Do you believe this to be our literal future? Do you believe it? That's the value and purpose of prophecy in the rest of the Bible. To convince us that things that are said in advance by God come true. He has said, this will come true. Do we believe it? Are we living like we believe it? So, truth or fiction? Foolish or wise? God's existence, I think we've demonstrated today, is not an issue of real or fake, truth or fiction. It is one of acknowledgement and submission, right? I mean, we have to acknowledge there is a God. We have to repent and submit to him. It's not whether he's real or not. Oh, now you're real. Okay, now I'll believe in you. That is not the issue. It's foolhardy to say there is no God, to live like there is no God. Blessed are those who have already bowed and confessed. This statement that there is no God, it's a time-limited statement because Jesus says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That means even people that are unbelievers, that have rejected God and are headed towards hell, they will still bow and have to confess that Jesus is Lord. So time to decide is running out. We don't know. Those people in Syria and
Turkey,
yeah, thank you. Last Sunday, they didn't know that the next day was the last day. They didn't know. The last time an earthquake this big hit that area was 1939. You just don't know. Blessed are those who live their life for Jesus. there are fewer and fewer people who believe there is a God. There are more and more people who say there is no God. Let us be loving and share the message there is a God in heaven and he loves you. There is a God in heaven and he loves you. In fact, Peter tells us, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Jesus is returning. And as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So the Holy Spirit will convict the unbeliever's heart about sin and righteousness and show them the solution and draw them to God. We could be part of that by sharing that message with the unbelievers. So our action, our task, our assignment is not to go out and shout and beat and storm and rail. It's to go out and share the message of Jesus. He's loving and he's got a place for us. Amen. Amen. Let us gather around and pray for one another.